going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices and give you a 5-year price guarantee on talk, text, and data. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Welcome to Catholic Education Plus. I'm Father Tom Burke, pastor at St. Benedict de Moore Parish in the Hill District, and also the pastor at St. Mary Magdalene Parish, serving the communities of the East End, Homewood, Point Breeze, and Wilkinsburg sections of the city of Pittsburgh. What makes our Catholic schools unique? Our Catholic school curriculum sets us apart. In going deeper than any textbook, the goal of a Catholic education is to help the student grow into his or her full potential through intertwining education and faith, so that the students learn to recognize God's presence in their lives. This morning's show, we're going to take a look at the traditional and innovative strategies for educating our children in this ever-changing world. We have a full house of guests this morning, all three women, who I keyed up as calling the Holy Trinity. They see the Catholic curriculum in action in person and on a daily basis. Michelle Peduto is our Director of Catholic Schools. We welcome back her. And Sharon Laughlin Brown is the Regional Administrator for the South Region. And we also welcome this morning Kimberly Stevenson, who is the Principal at JFK Elementary School in the city of Washington. Welcome to Catholic Education Plus, ladies.
Thanks, Father Tom.
Thank you.
We've got the Holy Trinity lined up here with us this morning. Thanks for being with us. I'm looking forward to getting into this action-packed show here this morning. Michelle, let's start off with you as the lead hitter here. We'll get started with the important basic point of understanding what is curriculum and what is not curriculum.
So curriculum, we hear a lot of that in the news today. People are asking, what's the curriculum in our school? What does that mean to our parents, to our teachers? Curriculum, we have a formal curriculum, we have an informal curriculum. The formal curriculum would be the standards, the skill sets that we work from at each grade level in each content area. It's like having a roadmap of what we want to accomplish each year, and it's very specific to the grade level and to the particular content area. And it's articulated in writing, and teachers are aware of this and they construct their lesson plans. They form their strategies based on that solid paper curriculum. But there's also an informal curriculum, which is everything that comes beyond that. So different things like how to get along with your neighbor, those are all parts of the curriculum of a school too. And sometimes they're articulated and sometimes they're not. It's what you learn when you are in the school. What curriculum is not, and we want to be very clear, that resources are just that, resources. So a textbook is a resource that supports what we want to teach in that grade level. It is not the curriculum itself. Often it's aligned, and it should be aligned very well with the skill sets we want to teach, but it's not the curriculum. And that textbook could change every few years to a different company, go in a different direction, because it is a resource. Technology too is a resource, but it's not a curriculum. So just to be clear that we are talking about what we want to cover in first grade, second grade, third grade, up through high school, what we want to accomplish in that particular space and time with those kids, with those students.
And that makes sense. Obviously, textbooks, you have to update them every few years. Of course, the computers and technology constant. Look at the mobile phones. You know, I have still a phone, iPhone 6, and now they're up to 13. So it's just an ever-changing thing. So I could see, you know, from a Catholic school perspective, you know, there are certain things that change that are on needed change, but there's also some things that obviously need to be consistent. So thanks for making that clear with what is curriculum and not. Now, Sharon, help us understand more about how the curriculum fits into the big picture. What is the relationship between curriculum, instruction, and assessment?
So I think we like to use a lot of buzzwords sometimes in education, and we use some words that help us to understand things like curriculum. We heard Michelle very clearly talk about standards, and we have those from the states. But I think it's really very simple, and I heard this long ago, and I kind of try to keep it in mind, that in teaching, we know what do we need to know. That's the curriculum. How are we going to teach that? That's the instruction. And how will we know if the students know what they need to know, which is assessment? So, of course, the most important thing there is instruction, is the teachers. Teachers have the largest impact on students. And so with curriculum, what they need to know, how are we going to let them know what they need to know? That's the instruction, which can be done in so many different ways. And then, of course, we've got to know if they do know what they need to know. And I know I'm being funny by saying these things over again, but it really is the assessment piece. We have to check in with them to see if what we're doing a good job. And so we like to use the term data a lot, especially now. We're getting a lot of data collected in instructions. We've just done standardized testing. We do all kinds of assessment. We've spent a lot of our year this year after COVID doing different kinds of assessment because we really want to collect that data to see where our kids are and to see if they have lost anything through some of the time that we may have been shut down. So we do a lot of collecting of data from assessment. But ultimately, assessment is really only important as checkpoints to help our instruction and to help our teachers to know what it is they may need to change so that we know what they need to know.
You put that quite clearly. So, yeah. Now, Kim, your position as the principal at JFK Elementary School in the city of Washington, PA, you visit the classrooms and the school events. How do you see our Catholic schools bringing the curriculum into life with your daily observations?
I believe you said that correctly. We want to bring that to life. Why? I learned this. How is it going to impact me? Why do I need to know this? So going into the classroom and watching the students work collaboratively, for example, learning about the life cycle of a chicken. And now we're hatching eggs. We're learning the vocabulary. We learn about pipping and how they get out of the shell and what's important, what nutrients are in that shell. And then watching the whole cycle, then taking that cycle, discussing it, putting it into the writing curriculum and being able to write about it. Going home and saying, oh, I think I'd like to have some chickens, Mom and Dad. So we have some chickens to share with our families. So I think it's just getting them involved and seeing how they can use it. We're blessed to have a greenhouse at our school. So the children learn about growing plants and what's important, planting the seeds from preschool. watering, watching them grow under the special lights, and then being able to take plants home to maybe start a garden on their own. We also use that for the children to learn about being productive in society by being able to share and sell those plants. So we have a plant sale, and then we use that money for different projects for the children as well. But I think the more hands-on they are, the more they can relate their learning to their life, the more that they take that responsibility for their own education.
Yeah. Okay. Sounds good. Now, Sharon, our world is ever changing. The way that educators adapt and respond to those changes, it's also very important. Can you describe some of the exciting traditional and innovative approaches to learning that are common in our Catholic schools?
Sure. I think that you mentioned, Father Tom, technology. And I think it's important for us to note that we use technology as a tool or a resource, as Kim's or as Michelle stated. And those, of course, are some of the more innovative things that we've seen happening. But I think it's really important to see not just technology, which we use, but how we teach our children. So just this past week, the past couple of weeks, we've had the spelling bee, the diocesan spelling bee, which would be very traditional. Memorization, as we used to learn how to spell and memorize spelling words, as well as our traditional phonics approaches. So I think we still teach cursive in our Catholic schools. We have very many traditional things that we continue to do. And then we also had, just a few weeks ago, the Invention Convention, where we also had our students come and share innovative ways that they were able to come up with how to problem solve something that they saw in the real world and make an invention that it would solve that problem. So I think the balance of both traditional and innovative approaches is what we see very commonly in all of our schools.
Yeah, you have to have the mixture of the old and the new, so to speak. So keep some traditional things, like you said, Sharon, and then look at some new ways. So, and I think our Catholic schools definitely blend that. So, well, we have lots more to cover. We're going to take a break and come back for the second half with Michelle, Sharon, and Kimberly. So we'll be back. You're listening to Catholic Education Plus with Father Tom Burke here on KDK Radio. Welcome back to Catholic Education Plus. I'm Father Tom Burke, pastor at St. Benedict de Moore Parish in the Hill District and also at St. Mary Magdalene Parish in the East End. We have our Director of Catholic Schools, Michelle Peduto, our Regional Administrator for the South Region, Sharon Lockburn Brown, and the Principal at JFK Elementary School in the City of Washington, PA, Kimberly Stevenson, with us this morning. And our topic is helping us to understand what Catholic curriculum is and how it benefits our students. So, Michelle, we often hear about soft skills in our schools, and given what you've already shared about the Catholic curriculum in the first half of our show, what would that look like in our Catholic schools today?
So Sharon, in the last segment, brought up about traditional and innovative approaches. And some of these approaches give us the latitude to teach these soft skills as part of developing the skills within these approaches. I kind of repeated myself there. But when we look at things that are important to life in the world, communicating, teamwork, problem solving, time management, critical thinking, adaptability, creativity, we want to incorporate that skill set, considered soft skills or 21st century skills. We want to include that as we engage students in the curriculum. So that instruction piece, how we teach and how we engage the students in their response to our teaching should incorporate these soft skills. The Invention Convention, these were students from a number of different schools paired up, looking at problems, solving the problem, working together in teams of three or four, two, three, or four, and figuring out a solution and then presenting that solution. There's a lot involved in that other than just understanding particular content. So we look for those opportunities every single day to give our students that that skill set moving forward as they approach high school, when they leave high school, as they approach college. We want them to go well equipped to handle anything that comes in their path.
Now, Sharon, what role does faith play in the curriculum areas?
Well, obviously, our Catholic schools wouldn't even exist without the faith. And so it's the primary pillar of everything that we do. And so while we do have religion class every day, our students also have the opportunity to share in the many, many rich traditions of our faith, attending Mass, receiving the sacraments, being able to explore all kinds of different devotions, such as the rosary and adoration, and being able to participate in community outreach and service opportunities. So as Michelle talked about formal and informal curriculum, formal, we have that in our faith formation of these students as well, that we partner with our parents. The formal curriculum in their religion classes, as well as the opportunity for them to share the many, many rich traditions of our faith and church, as well as being able to infuse our faith into every subject that they learn throughout the day.
Now, Kim, obviously here in the Western Pennsylvania, the greater Pittsburgh region, the counties in southwestern Pennsylvania, we have wonderful public and private schools and charter schools. Can you tell our listeners how Catholic schools make a difference in their approach to curriculum matters?
Well, basically, I think Catholic education is unlike any other education. Of course, we focus on more than the academics. We focus on educating the entire child, nurturing their mind, their body, and their spirit. We want to strengthen their self, as well as we want them to come to know God. And that's what's important in our curriculum, being able to talk about God throughout the day. And also our high academic expectations is something I think our parents have come to know as being part of a Catholic school, expecting children to act morally and to respect themselves and respect others in the classroom. We just expect them to hold higher standards, to be able to leave our schools and to be model citizens. So those are things we instill in our children, our manners, saying thank you, excuse me, things like that I think get sometimes lost in education. Those are things we want to make sure that we are instilling in our children. And, you know, we have the technology, we have all of the important materials that many schools, like you said, public charter schools have, but being able to share the love of the Lord and being able to have those high expectations on how we expect our children to live their life.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. You put that in a good summary. Now, one last question. I'm going to throw this out to all three of you to help summarize all the great points that we have discussed. If I was a parent trying to make the important decision about where to send my child to school this coming fall, what would you want me to know about the difference that a Catholic school education offers compared to others?
I think a piece I want to highlight that we haven't brought up is we also want to teach about the beauty of our faith. We want to teach the beauty of learning. We want to give our students just a wonderful aesthetic experience when it comes to art and music and love of each other. There's And we are open about this. These are open things that we talk about, loving our faith in an open manner, loving what we're learning, and loving each other. And then, as Kim stated so eloquently, loving God above all else. I think that is what sets us apart. And when you look in our world today, that is a critical piece for all of us when it comes to raising our children in the presence of our God every day, 7 days a week. Well, 5 days a week in school. We'll send them home for the weekend. But we do that. And that is so important because we all see what a crisis our society is in right now. So putting our children in Catholic school is the best option.
And we know the importance the parents play in the role of the religion aspect in their children's life. And we're such a family, and being able to work together, you know, to build that character. Parents are on, we work together as a team. We collaborate. They're involved in the schools. And how many times when you're touring or talking to parents, they see that. They'll walk into a school and say, wow, it just feels so warm here, you know, and it's great to know that, you know, their child is going to be nurtured and loved in our Catholic schools.
I think that any parent that has sent their children to Catholic schools, you often hear them say about, as you said, a family and the community that they serve. And obviously, we want that to be part of the parish communities as well. And so I think that we also have the opportunity in our Catholic schools to work together with our parishes to help to bring these children that have been entrusted to our care closer to God throughout the day. And I think that it's something that's very difficult to put into words, but it is that feeling and environment of being able to nurture their faith and their whole person, as Kim said, and really make them be the best version of themselves, I think.
Great. Well, Michelle, Sharon, and Kimberly, thanks for being with us this morning. We've covered a lot. So thanks for all the work that you do. We're going to take a break and we'll come back for the final Plus segment. You're listening to Catholic Education Plus with Father Tom Burke here on KDK Radio. This week in our Plus segment, we are featuring the sixth Sunday of Easter. We are in the final few weeks of the Easter season, and we continue reading in John's Gospel, what we call the farewell discourse or the Last Supper discourse, as Jesus is with his disciples at the Last Supper. Jesus stresses that the divine mutuality between the Son and the Father of loving Jesus means living with God and Jesus. The advocate, which is sometimes called the comforter or counselor or helper, will teach in Jesus's absence. And the advocate keeps Jesus's teaching alive in the post-resurrection community. So let us allow the power of the Holy Spirit to renew our love of the risen Christ and live as a community in keeping his commands. Perhaps we can make peace with someone whom we've kept a distance from, and let us avoid any unnecessary conflicts or quarrels that might come up. So we're coming into the final few weeks of Easter, and also Ascension Thursday is this coming week. So we'll be back in 2 weeks. Thank you for listening to Catholic Education Plus with Father Tom Burke here on KDK Radio.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy.
This is Today with
Sophie. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
When things are tough, we talk about it. When there's something to figure out, we dig into it. And when there's joy, we celebrate it.
Because today is where it's all happening. We get the best start to every morning because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show with Savannah Guthrie and Craig Melvin weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.